Start the day the Torah away, Megillah Sarus, part one. So we're going to be looking today at Megillah Sarus, and we're going to have Bez Hashem have a few shir and be able to look at it in a few times. But Bez Hashem will get the first parak today. We'll try our best. I'm indebted also, I need to say, to Rav Moshe Miller, Rav Weinberg, and others who've given really the mahalach in understanding this. But I want to really say what our objective is, to go through the Sefer and see how the different, how Chazal, the picture Chazal are painting in the various Midrashim that they go through in order to build an entire Mahalach. And Perek Aleph really builds the problem. But let's take a look. And along the way, we're going to try to also understand what's the chibur between Megillas Rus and Shavuos. We know there's a number of points. It introduces David HaMelech at the end. And obviously that he's born and dies on Shavuos. We know there's a Kabbalah Satorah that actually takes place with Rus. That's going to be have a parallel to ours. But let's see, there's even perhaps an Oimek that brings all these, the depth that brings us together. So Vayhi b'mei Shavuot HaShoftim. If you've got a Megillah in front of you and can open, it's good. If not, I'll be reading actually inside and then outside. So when the minute you got the word Vayhi b'mei, it was in the days of Shavuot HaShoftim that the judges judged. So there's a number of things come out straight away from this, right? The first obvious point is it's linking straight back to Sefer Shoftim, and indeed that makes a lot of sense. It's Mechaba, it links Sefer Shoftim, begins with Shoftim, and it finishes with David, with the birth of David. So it's really naturally bridges the Sefer Svarim Shoftim and Shmuel. And in fact, the Gemara says that Shmuel is the author of this, so it really is that bridge. So you'd expect it to have, you know, if that's all you knew about it, you'd expect there's some kind of something about it that tells us why we need a melech and so on. It doesn't really do that. The entire issue then, but what it's clearly going to be is it is going to be all the issues that help the Achanan help create what will become David HaMelech. But okay, let's get straight in. Vayhi b'mei, right? We know that that the Gemara says Vayhi can usually be bad or good, but Vayhi b'mei is usually a bad thing's happening. Like Vayhi b'mei HaChashverosh, there's trouble, there's something going wrong. Shvoit HaShoftim, so Chazal say it's a strange phrase, the days the judges judge. It's used a number of times in Tanakh. But Shvoit HaShoftim, Dorash HaShofet HaShvato, the generation that judges its own judges. In other words, Shvoit HaShoftim literally means the days when the judges judged, but it's a redundant phrase because of what else the judges do but judge. Of course, judges judge. So Shvoit HaShoftim also is the time when the judges, when people judge the judges. Till you take a kiss, until you take a little pick between your teeth, you want to criticize me, you take out the beam that's between your eyes. So, in other words, we've clearly got a problem going on. Just those words, Vayhi b'mei, says we're in trouble. Shvoit HaShoftim means that there's a breakdown taking place. The order, the reliance that depends on the Shoftim for Anhogas Yisrael, for guiding Klal Yisrael, is now broken down. It's not happening properly. People, either because it could be, we don't know, is it because the Shoftim themselves weren't behaving right, or just the people have become big critics of the Shoftim, but somewhere the order that's meant to be is now broken down. For Hirov Ba'aretz, then there's economic breakdown. Now the economy is not working. For Yelech Ishma Beis Lechem Yehuda Lagur B'Stei Moav. And a man goes from Beis Lechem Yehuda and goes to Moav. It doesn't tell us who this man is straight away. Who, V'Ishto Shnevonov, he, his wife, his two children. And then he says, oh, by the way, Shema Isheli Melech, Shem Ishtoi Normi, Shem Shnei Bonav Machron Akilion, and they were Ephros, and they were these elites, or noble people in Beis Lechem Yehuda. And the question is, why does the Torah do it? It actually does it in other places. For example, in Sefer Shemos, it does it. When it's an Ishma Beis Levi, a person from the house of Levi goes and takes a Bas Levi. And there you see what Chazal say, because Miriam, in that scenario, it was talking about Amram and Yecheved, Moshe's parents, and Miriam had got them they'd separated because they were afraid of the decrees of Paro, and Miriam convinced them, said, you know, Paro's only killing boys, you're stopping all children coming into the world, so they remarried, or they came back together, and then Chazal tells us everybody did the same. So the phrase Yelech Ish means any person, every couple. You could put any name into there, into the Ish and into the Bas Levi. It's schematic, if you like. It's a sentence that could apply to any individual at the time. They were all remarrying or re-engaging in marriage, and husbands and wives, they were all doing this. So it happens to be particularly we're talking about one, but we're telling you this one is emblematic of what was going on more broadly, or perhaps even the cause of what's going on more broadly. So similarly here, we've got the same issue. Everyone called Ish, and Ish doesn't just mean a man, it means a nobleman. So every time there's every noble person, the nobility were basically leaving town. Now here's what's very strange, they're going to Moab. Moab is not far away from Beis Lechem. One's on the west bank, one's on the east bank. They're very close to each other. There's a slight difference in climate, but it's not very different. Usually if there's a famine in one, there's going to be a famine in the other. That's first of all. So why are they going from Beis Lechem to Moab? Now, it's not like the Ovis who, when there's a famine, they went down to Egypt. Okay, that's a whole different world. Here, they're very close. If there's major famine, there should be in both. Second of all, the nobility are the only people who don't usually starve in a famine. Right? There's no, the nobles have storages of grains going back from the previous harvest. So they just don't sell as much or don't distribute as much or whatever. They're not the ones who have to run out from the Rav. The poor people should be running out. Elamai, so that's what Chazal tells us, that they're running away from giving tzedakah. The aniyim are banging on the doors. So the Ish and Beis Lechem, and they dafka go to Moav, because Moav is the place in the world that doesn't do chesed. Moav comes from Sodom, let's not forget, right? What's the history of Moav? There was a town in the world that stood against chesed. That town was Sodom. Everything, Midas Sodom, refusal to be kind to people, refusal to give charity. And out of Sodom, Lot survived, Lot went there to become part of that civilization. And Lot is the survivor of Sodom, and Moav is the child of Lot and his daughter. And so Moav retains that, and that's actually a kidmu lechem. They didn't come before you to give lechem. That's exactly why we don't let a Moavi into Kalisar. They carried on this anti-chesed world. And that's it. So the rich people going out of town tells us what's happening here is people are running away when it comes to chesed. And they're going to the place in the world where no poor person will bother them. There may not be that much food there either. They'll take their stocks across. But the fact is that they're not going to get bothered. There's people moving. The nobility is getting out of town. And this is showing what's going on. We've got a spiritual problem in the Shvoit HaShoftim. We've got an economic problem in the Rav Ba'aretz. And we've got a social disaster in the Ish, in the nobility running away from their Chiyuvim Tzedakah, their Achrayus, their responsibility to everybody else, to go to the place in the world that doesn't stand for, doesn't let the poor people chase them. Okay, Vayavos de Moav, Vayihiyu Sham, and they came to the fields of Moav, and they were there. And here we have the Gemara in Brachos Yud Gimel that says, when Vahayu is Bavayos and Yehu, and that's generally a Chazal are going to be Darish. It means they didn't just happen to be there, they were there, they became themselves there, they found themselves there. Just so you're aware, there are other drashas of Chazal as well that do see something a bit better in Machlon and Kilion, especially in Elimelech. But generally, this is the Malach. There's something disastrous in this. They're finding themselves. They wanted to be like Moavim in this sense. Okay, so we got the scene set up early on in the Megillah. Literally, there's opening psukim. Then we say like this. Vayomas Elimelech ish nomi. And Elimelech, husband of Normi, dies. And this is the Gemara of Sanhedrin says, Einish Mesel El Ishtod, the real death is felt so painfully to his wife. And literally brings it from here. This is the riot. The Pasuk is, Vayomas Elimelech Ish Normi. Because what we've done is we've just changed. Till now it's been Elimelech went. And also his wife and children. And he was the one driving this. He's the center. They're auxiliary. And his name is Elimelech. And their names are Normi and Machlon and Kilion and so on. But now, where you say Ish Normi, she's really the center. He's just a husband, right? So there's a change happening. Something's happening. And it's a Chazal Adosha. No, the simple meaning is in terms of the prominence of the pain of Misa. But we will see she does start moving towards the center. Vatishar Yoshnevonel, she remains with her two sons. And the Yalkut Shimoni on Rus actually says, she felt like she's a remnant. She doesn't have her whole life. The sense of what she lived for is gone. She followed him. She looked after him. She cared about him. Everything. And then it's all, she feels like she's just Shirai. Vayisulahem Noshim Moavius, but they married Moavi women. Shevachas Arpa Shemashenis Rus. And we know the Rus Rabba, the Arpa, is already set up in her name for the turning the Oref, for what will become later a rebellion, whereas another drosh as well. In the Rus Rabba, whereas Rus is already got Ra Sa Divrei Chamois, so she's going to see the words of her mother-in-law and so on. We're going to have other droshes as well. Haisa Martesas Minaveshi, right, the different droshes of Chazal. The Gemara Brochus says that Shariu L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, she would sing praises to Hashem, right? So there's all different aspects of her name already reveal the potential for what will become. Okay, either way. So that what I just quoted was the Rus Rabba. That's exactly right. That's Gemara Bracha. Sorry, very good. So, but whichever. The Yeshu Shom Ka'asa Shonim. Now, it's very strange. They lived there for around 10 years. Well, was it 10 years? Was it 11 years? Was it 9 years? You know, what's the problem? But, of course, the Gemara Yevamos tells us that Asa Shonim, 10 years, is the amount of time it takes before, certainly without modern fertility testing, before one assumes the marriage is going to be sterile, and therefore permission comes to end it. But it means these marriages are going nowhere. The Ka'asa Shonim is telling us that really things are just... And then by a musugam shnei machlam v'kinyan, so everything is disastrous. Eli Melech's gone. The kids married. They married out, but pashtus sounds like there wasn't a giyur. Again, I'm simplifying because there are different shittas on this, but roiv we're going with, and the pashut pshat in most midrashim seems to be there's no giyur here. By a musugam shnei machlam v'kinyan, and then after childless marriages with nothing going on, then they both die, and gam shneim also both of them is because. And in fact, the Gemara, the Midrash Rus Rabba says that the gam is because there was whole stages of disastrous fall. Of course, gam can also be because now that they're dead, it feels even more like Elimelech's dead, and we'll see that in the next pasuk. But you know, these were the Paranasei Adar. Let's not forget the Tanchuma tells us literally they were the Paranasei Adar, as we've already seen the Ish, and so on. So Vatishar Ha'isha Mishnei Eladeh Ha'ume Isha. So she now remains from her two children and from her husband. Well, her husband already died. Yes. But now she becomes, the Rus Rabba says, Shirai Shirai. Now she, because so long as the children are alive, to some degree, her husband is still alive. The memory is still alive. He looks like, he speaks like your father, you speak like, you know, that kind of stuff. And now they've died again. He's like he's died another death. And there's no children, no Hemshech. It's really all broken. Okay, so Vatokom. So she gets up. And there's tekuma, you know, it's like a tekuma, just like we say in the Sifra says in Bechukosai that the tekuma usually is geula. There's some kind of, she feels she's got to be redeemed out of this place. She and her daughters-in-law. So now she is clearly again, she's moved slowly to the center, and then now orbiting her. Tashav is Moav, and she returns from the fields of Moav. So at the moment, the first Tashav is even before she knows where she's going. She's got to get out of here. Okay, but then it turns out that Kishama b'stei Moav, ki pakad Hashem as Amoy, she heard in the fields of Moav that Hashem has redeemed his people, l'aseis lehem lechem, to give them bread, v'ateitim in amakam esha hoysa shama, and she left the place where she had been there, and I noticed that hoysa, b'havayosan yehei, she'd followed along Elimelech's being there, but she's no longer a part of it. Maybe she never was. She cannot feel that this is where she belongs. And now comes, and now the pasuk is going to be rambles at that, just how great a figure she is, and that's going to be very important. She left the place where she had been there. Well, of course she has to get out of the place where she's going to be there, in order to go, the daughters-in-law with her. And they go on the journey to come back to Yehuda. So, of course she had to leave. What does that mean? And of course we know there's one, at least one other time where Tanakh does the same thing. It's Pashas Vayetze, Vayetze Yaakov Meber Shava Vayelech Charana. Why do you need to say Vayetze? Just say Vayelech Yaakov Charana. Yaakov went to Charan. Why do you need to say he left? And that Rashi brings, it's the Bracious Rabbah. Because when a tzaddik leaves a town, Pana Hada, Pana Ziva, Pana, the whole thing, you just feel a light's just gone out. And that Medrash brings exactly this Pasuk as the example. So we now know, in the beginning it sounded like normally just she was just going along with Elimelech, but now she's become, maybe she always was, but we're seeing now the gadlus of this woman, that when she walks out of the town, the lights go out. The town looks like a different place. Okay, so there's something about her when you see her, that you see tzidkus, you see something happening, you feel the impact. Now, in fact, the there's a drosh over here that they left on the first day of Pesach, and there was actually the Medrash Rabba and Rus Rabba says that literally they left on Pesach itself, right? Because we're going to see they arrive at the Tchilas Ketzir Chitim, they arrive and why that was mutter. We're not going to go now. But Toma Normi Shechelasa, Normi says, Leich Nashovna Ishel Aveisimah, each one of you go back to your mother's homes. Now, and now we're going to come to really what's going to have to force us to really look at this whole thing again. Yes, Hashem, Machem, Chesed, Kashisem, Mesem, Imadi. May Hashem do Chesed like you've done for the dead and for me, the kindness you've done. And here we have, there's no such thing as Chesed, not full Chesed, except Chesed Shal Emes, only with the dead. Yitin Hashem, Lachem, Matzen, Menucha, Isha, Vesim, Isha. May each one of you find a husband. Right? Okay. So, Vatishaklen, she kisses them. Vatisan, a koilon, they raise their voices and cry. And they say, Vatoyim, and they say, no, Kitoch, Nashul, Amech. So far we've got a very simple structure. They want to go with her, and that's the story. We've all learned it many times as children. And then we know that she's going to try and dissuade them, and Rus is going to Oropa's going to be blown out the water and go back, and Rus is going to be Dovkoban Klingon, and what Rus is going to say. But I want us to pause now and just think carefully. If we were in Normie's position at this moment, right? Remember, we're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph now. Remember what's happening. These girls are princesses of Moav, according to Chazal. They are in their hometown, where if they go back now, they're going to be wealthy, they're going to be looked after, they're going to marry well, everything's going to go well. And they're willing to give it all up to go back with her. And she's got to say something to dissuade them. So if it was you or me, I suspect we'd say something like, you know, if you go back, you realize you're going to suffer, you know, you're going to be poor, it's not going to be easy to get married, you're going to have a terrible life, you probably never have children, people look down upon you, who knows what's going to be, right? Those sorts of things. Go back where you're going to be wealthy and looked after and find someone from and your culture and your language. You can think of all these various arguments. But listen to what she says. Vatoyim Normi, and Normi says, Shovna b'noisai, lama seilach na'imi, why are you going with me? Ha'oidli vonim b'mei, do I still have children in my womb? What's that going to do with anything? There'll be for you husbands. What? You think they were going with her to marry her children? That's got to be a crazy argument. They're going to probably politely nod. You'd assume that, you know, of course we know the end of the story, but we assume they politely nod to go, yes, okay, Normie, we realise that. That wasn't our plan. No, but she goes, no, please, she doubles down on this. This is a really good argument. You got to go back because I'm too old to get married. But even if I think there's hope, even if I could give birth, are you going to wait around or shake down? Are you going to be agunas? Right? I'm too bitter for you. And of course, there's a bit of a play on words. Mali ma'id mikem, because of you. Because my kids married you, they're all dead. Kiyotze biyad Hashem. What a crazy argument. You would think, well, what does this mean? Vatisena koilon, vativkena oid. They raise their voices and they cry. And Tishak Arpa lachamayisav rustav kabah. And Arpa, it's worked. She's been blown away by it. She was willing to give up everything to join Klal Yisrael, and somehow this argument blew her out the water. And not only that, Chazal say that night she went, but she found a troop of Pelishtim, and then all the children that came out of that ended up being the Arab Asayli Yordel Harpa Begas, the Pasuk in Shmuel that speaks about the four enemies of David who came and got, they came from Harpa, who's Arpa. Arpa's children become dedicated, right? Dedicated forever after to the destruction of Rus's children, to David and so on. This is, and in fact, the schus was that she originally cried, the Gemara and Saita says. So, you're right, the Gemara and Saita tells that all of the warrior, they were all, I mean, this is, how did it all turn around from this funny little argument? And Rus Dovkov, Rus is like clinging on, there's like a hurricane blowing at her. So I tell you, the aside of this pashtus is as follows. And this goes all the way back to Moav itself. Moav, you know, what is the concept of Moav? Why would somebody want to be anti-chesed? What's the concept of Sodom? And this is, as I already showed you, is full of Ramazim of Sodom. Even the Shvayt HaShoftim links us right back to the last chapter of Sefer Shoftim, which was this tragic story of Pelegesh Begiva, when for a brief moment in Binyamin, again, look up the story itself, you know, but just look closely how it resembles the story of Sodom, that Klal Yisrael themselves, parts of Klal Yisrael, had become exactly like Sodom, banned Chesed and so on. There's echoes of Sodom everywhere. And Moav is not just them. Moav is Lot's children. And Lot was meant to be the heir of Avraham. And Lot abandoned Avraham. He gave up he literally abandons Avraham. And he does it, and he runs away. When Avraham's given him everything and goes to Sodom to pursue a world of non-chesed, let's understand. Lot had been brought up by Avraham since his father dies. Lot had been looked after. Everything Lot had, every penny Lot has, is Avraham's. Right, he's the heir to the greatest movement going on in the world. He's going to be heir to the Reish Lakish Baruch Hu, to the Nevus Yaakov Chesed Avraham, everything. And he goes and leaves all that. Why on earth would anyone do that? And the answer is, that's exactly why. That's exactly why. Because you are light, and everywhere, everything you have is not yours. You've been a Chesed project of your uncle for your entire, since childhood. Right? And you know you feel when everything you have everything. The gamla loyta hoylech as Avram hayat soinu vakavay halim. And also light is an adjunct. He's a little an also. You know, Avram's the real Asher. Light is just everything he has is not his. That's how the pasuk describes it. He's gam. He's the also guy. You know that. And this is it. The Yerushalmi in Arla that says Amar of Yudan Barachanin Simona Da'acham in Chavrei. Simona, sorry, Da'acham in Chavrei. This is the phrase. Da'acham in Chavrei. A person who eats from their friend, Bohis Mistaklabe, is ashamed to look at them. There's a shame in being the recipient of Chesed. We call it Nahama de Chisufa. Chazal have a word for it, the bread of shame. In fact, Rashi in Parash Kedoshim, when it goes to Arias and says Chesed, who? Etc. Rashi, why is Arias called Chesed? Loshna Rami Charpa Chasuda. It's shame. It's busha. To be on the receiving end of Chesed is shame. And you can imagine Lot turning around to Avraham saying, "You know what? Thank you for all your Chesed you've done to me. But you know what you've done? You've been feeling really good. I've been feeling like a ball of shame. I don't want this anymore. I want to go to the one place in the world that understands just how terrible Chesed is. And that's Sodom. Because Chesed is very nice for the Baal Chesed, but it's terrible for the recipient. And you, Avraham, are running an entire world based on Olam Chesed Yibonin. You're talking about Chesed and Chesed. And the truth is, this is a real problem. Now, of course, Lot is wrong and Avraham is right, but the Kasha is a real Kasha. This Loshen Hamad Chisufa, the bread of shame. Chazal say it about creation itself. If the whole world's Olam Chesed Yibonin, then how do we have a relationship with God? Everything's a bread of shame. Right? Think about Adam Arishan. The Gemara says when he says, when after he does the chait, he uses the word anoichi for the first time. Ki eirom anoichi. I'm ashamed. Right? Eivosh ki eirom anoichi. I'm ashamed because I'm naked, so I hid. Same thing. This is the busha. I don't want to just be your thought, Hashem. Do you know how powerful chait feels? I feel myself now because I've actually been able to say no. By the way, psychologically is why a child, the two-year-old who first says no to their parent, the teenager who slams the door in their parent's face. Because you know how hard it is to be a teenager where all you've done has been the nebuch who's received the parent's chesed, and every time you're in a discussion with the parents, it's always implicit is, do you know, I fed you, I looked after you, I this, that, and the other. I can't be myself, I'm just an expression of you. But it's true of Matan Torah as well. Kafa aleim haruka gigis. You know what it is to receive the Torah? Here, I, the infinite creator of the universe, give you Torah. Mudar Rabbalai Raisa. It's the greatest get-out clause. I don't have a choice. What am I meant to say? Yes? No? You've looked after me from childhood. Now you give me eternity. But who am I? Where's me? This is a real problem. Sodom is attacking a real kasha on the whole concept of chesed. How can you ever have a real relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu without there being some subliminal resentment? Right, every time a Kodesh Baruch gets close, Matan Torah. We want Moshe in the way, and then off comes Egel Azav. There's this need to push, need for Avataivas Avodah Zarah, need to push something, just to assert independence and sense of self. And that, Lichaira, is what Normie is saying. Do you realize what's happened? You Moavios, you understand this. You're following me because you've become totally dependent upon me and my chesed. And do you realize how pathetic it is that you just have become like, almost like you're in a cult of me and you can't kind of live for yourselves anymore? And what are you going to do, wait for me to have children? Alban, I said, this is ridiculous. And the minute Orpah hears it, it resonates with her Moabite essence, and she said, oh, I can't believe this. And she literally, like the person who gets sick because they left some kind of cult, she dedicates the rest of her life to destruction of who she was nearly destroyed. And Rus, throughout this Sefer, is going to provide us with the answer. She doesn't yet provide the answer in Perek Aleph, but she shows us she's going to. Because Verus Dovka Bar Rus clings to Normi. And then she says something that seems to be contradictory. She says as follows. So first of all, Normi says, your daughter-in-law has gone back. She's gone all the way back. Total U-turn. A minute ago she was going to come with me now and to Klal Yisrael. Now she's going right back to Avodah Zarah, back to everything. Don't push against me. Because, as the Rus Rabbah says, what she's saying is, if you push me, I'll be oizev you. But I will continue. But then she says, Kira shetelech elech. Well, one sec. If you push me, I'll leave you. But wherever you go, I'm going anyway. What's that mean? So the Medrash says exactly this. If you push me, you try and do the chait against me, I'll be Megaya anyway. But I'll let go of you. In other words, I'm not here because I depend upon you. I see something in you that I admire and I want for me. I'm not dependent upon you. Push me anymore. Lozvech, I won't talk to you again. I will leave you. But I'm still going to do what you do. Because it's not, I don't depend on you. I admire you. And this was the whole gadlus of Ateitzi Menemaka Meshahai Sashama. You could see Normi's gadlus. Ruth says, whatever it is you have, I want. Where you go, I go. Where you lie, I lie. People's mine, your God is mine. As you die, I die. And then I'll be buried. And here the Gemara in Yevamos says, and Rashi brings actually different chazals that say it, this was really a halachic discussion. You know, Normi says, you know, we can't do Tchumei Shabbos. Other drash of Chazal is, Tchumei Shabbos, Shetelech Elech, where you go, I go. It's a Yechud. Tolini Olin, where you lie, I lie. You know, there's Tayag Mitzvahs, Amech Ami. There's Isra Avodah Zarah, can't serve idols, Elokai Chelokai. Very strange. She didn't know there was an Isra Avodah Zarah. She thought she could serve idols, and in the middle of all this, I guess if being what you are takes... By the way, you see this very clearly in the Rambam, in Hilchos Esori Bia. Because the Rambam says, what happens to Geret Tzedek? When a person comes with an akum and they come and want to be part of us and we don't see any problem, we say, why do you want to do it? Do you understand that it's very dangerous joining Klal Yisrael? It's anti-Semitism, it's not you, your children, your grandchildren. And they say, afal b'chein eini kedai, I really want to do it. And you see they're sincere, mekabel mos miyad. You take them straight away and then you teach them miktas mitzvahs kalas or miktas chamurois, light mitzvahs and heavy mitzvahs, right? So you teach them what will he teach them? So he gives lists, examples of the Anikra Das, and then the big ones, Yichud Hashem, Issa Akum, again, same story. What, they were willing to risk their life, and you'll be Makabal, and they didn't know there's Ostav Avodah Zarah. They didn't know there's only one God. What is going on? So I think the Parshat Pshat you have to say is, Hichach Masam in Asam Le'inamim. They see there's something about Klal Yisrael. They see there's something about Normi. They see there's something that I want. What is it? It's because there's one Hashem, and I'm connected to him. Okay, then I want that too. But Rus is saying, I don't depend upon you. I admire you. And so the kind of poetry and the pshat and the halachas being the Kabbalah, Samitz, and the drush go hand in hand. What I see in you is not my dependence upon you, but I see something I want, that mahalach in life. That's the life I want. There's something, you're living something real that I'm not living. Oh, it's because of the Hashem Echad. I didn't know that, but it must be true because I see you're glowing with a reality that I don't have. I'm living in Sheker, you're clearly living in Emes. There's Israel, it's not fine, whatever it is, I'm with you. That's the shayrish of the gear in this case, and that's what's happening. But notice she's made this chiluk between wanting what you have versus depending on you. And that's going to tell us the beginning of the hint that she's going to come back with the answer to the problem of the Nahamad Chisufa. Okay, let's go a bit further. Let's see, we can koyas Hashem li, v'choyosif ki ha-movis yafrit b'ni uveinech. Right? This and so much more shall Hashem do if anything but death separates us. Okay, lots to say, but let's try to get the last little point. So she stops arguing. And then Yotesa Telachna stay, and they both go. Ad Boina Beis Lechem till they reach Beis Lechem, Ahika Boina Beis Lechem when they arrived. Vateon Kola Irelem Aleim. The whole city is in shock. They say this normi. Right? Don't call me normi, which means sweetness. Call me mora, which means bitter, because Hashem's been very bitter to me. I went out full, came back empty. Possibly even means that she came out pregnant and lost children. Why do you call me normi when I've been so embittered? Okay, now, Vatoshav Normi, Chof Beis, 22. Normi comes back. Verus HaMoyavia Kalosa Ima. And Rus, the Moyavia, her daughter-in-law, with her. Hashava Miste Moyav, who comes back from the field of Moyav. Who's that second Shava referring to? It can't be Normi. It says Vatoshav, Normi came back. And Rus, the Moyavia, she must have felt very Moyavia at this particular moment, because we know already from other Chazals that the reaction of the town was very negative to strangers, right? We saw already the kind of some aspect of Midas Stoim going on. So she must have felt like a real Moyavia walking in there. But Kalosa, daughter-in-law, Ima, with her, Ima means really with the same kavanas and so on. Hashava Mistei Moyav, that second Shava is not referring to Normi, it refers to Rus. What does that mean? Normi can return because she was once there. How can Rus return? But that's the point. We've been waiting for her. That's what Chazal said. We were waiting for her. We've been waiting for her for a thousand years. Ever since Lot left Avraham with the Kasha, we've been waiting for his great-great-granddaughter to come back. And here she is. She's Shava. She's returned. Now we're ready for chapter 2. They came back right at the beginning of Sefirot HaOmer. And with that, we're going to finish today. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue Perek Beis next week.